To see everyone here this evening, I pray you had a blessed day. It's always wonderful to be back together for a second service. It's always a blessing that we need to recognize that God has given us this opportunity to be here before Him in worship. Just a couple of announcements here. Good news with Dorothy. She is back home, if you haven't heard, and she's doing well. And my understanding was it was just, I hate to say a false alarm, which is a good thing, but she's okay and appears to be maybe some indigestion. But the arrangements for Elton Buddy Hall is, and this is what went out in the phone tree the other day, Thursday, April 30th, 4 to 8 visitation, Friday, May 1st, 12:30, 1:30 visitation, and funeral at 1:30, and this is at Harpeth Hills. Burial will be at Jane Jones Cemetery here in Fairview. So let's also be mindful of that family and their loss. And I just let you know, Christy's at home sleeping. Sometimes medicine they gave her is making her pretty tired. And so after service today, went out to the cemetery where her dad is buried. It's 2-year anniversary. Went out there, walked around. She's pretty wore out. Took her medicine. So we keep her in your prayers. We are going to do the PET scan tomorrow and hopefully have results Tuesday. And then we know what to do from there. If you would, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. And I'm going to throw out a disclaimer here with my PowerPoint. Nothing wrong with the PowerPoint. I've just had the last several days an issue with my laptop, so I don't fully remember everything in this PowerPoint because I haven't been able to check the last couple, 3 days. So, you know, hopefully I can remember most of it. I might be off a slide or two, so bear with me. You know, the book of Philippians is rightfully described as the book of joy. And what's neat about the book of Philippians is you have that word joy or rejoice 16 times, right? Just four little chapters, 16 times you see the word joy or rejoice. And we see Christ mentioned over 50 times. And so it's a very... I think a good way to describe the book is being the book of joy. And, you know, when we think about joy, right, many times, you know, especially around Christmas, we might say, well, it's the season of joy. And to me, you know, if there's a season of joy, then that kind of infers that there's a season that's not joy or a season... Or when joy is out of season, right? So, and I get the sentiment when we call Christmas time the season of joy. And so as we think about this, as we look at our text here this evening, I want us to also think about the idea of happiness. And I bring this up every once in a while. I want you to think about that word happiness as it relates to happenings, right? And they're very closely related if you did a word study. That's where we get happiness from, right? It's based on happenings. And, you know, you can have a lot of good happenings occur in your life that bring happiness. And so I was searching my mind thinking, what are some happenings that I, you know, that I rather enjoyed recently? And one of them was I was leaving the VA for an appointment at about 3 o'clock, right? Busiest time. And I drove all the way down 100, and I didn't get one single red light, right? There's a good dozen or so. Busy traffic, how is that possible? Right, I made it all the way back here without a single red light, and that's a good happening, right? And that brings happiness. Or for about a month straight, it seemed like anywhere I went, especially here at Walmart, I'd always get the front parking spot. That made me happy. Right, that's a good happening. Or you can even think about, you know, maybe if you hunt or fish, you know, getting that large buck. One time I got a 10-pound rainbow trout after about a 30-minute struggle in some rapids, and Boy, I was happy. And when I was happy about that happening, I had a picture taken of me, you know, holding that fish. And, you know, and I showed everybody that was willing to look, that great happening in my life. So when something good happens, that brings happiness. You know, happiness is just something really good. And, you know, we're immediately flooded with emotions that have to do with happiness. Now, joy, on the other hand, when you really think about it, it's something much deeper. Joy is something that carries us through the best days and the most challenging days. You know, and it's a wonderful blessing to be able to say that if we live our life in the Lord, there's not a season of joy. Right? But then our life in Christ is joyful. And we're thankful for that. So Philippians here, if you have your Bible open, and if you don't know this, Paul wrote Philippians along with some other epistles from prison. And isn't it interesting that he writes a book of joy from prison? You know, and you see the happenings at that moment in his life didn't affect his joy, didn't affect his relationship with the Lord. You know, and that should be a great lesson for us. And so I'd like you to think about this statement here, and I'm worried it may come up improper on the screen. There it is. Think about this statement that you see on the screen as we look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Joy lives in people who live in Christ. Joy lives in people who live in Christ. And it doesn't matter what the happenings of the day are. Right? You can still have joy because that joy is connected to Jesus Christ. And so Paul writes this short little book here. Let me just quickly remind you of a little something that's happening in each of these chapters. Chapter 1, which we're going to look at in just a moment, a little bit deeper. But he wanted to know how the brethren were doing. You know, how was the gospel doing? In chapter 2, joy. We're going to have joy in who Christ is and what he accomplished for us at the cross, what he did for us, and note the joy of his example. In chapter 3, Paul addresses, you know, to a degree, false teaching, right? And he said there's no joy in that. Rather, there's joy in following the truth. And then in chapter 4, it seems like maybe a division between two sisters in Christ, Eunia and Syntyche, might have been starting, right? And he said, hey, there's no joy in that. Rather, rejoice in the peace of God and the God of peace. And he ends the book, of course, almost with a thank you note, right? Thank you for giving your hearts. And Paul takes great joy in that. But if you back over here to chapter 1 of Philippians, I want you to note here in verse 12, let's consider some things that we can see about joy that's related to living a life in Christ. And so in verse 12 he says, I want you to know, see that's why he's writing them. He says, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which, now what does your Bible say there? Which happened. The things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And so he says, I want you to know something here. And notice the brevity as he says, the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, from time to time in your Bible, you know, a very short statement is just packed with emotions. And many times in your Bible, the Bible will use a small amount of words to really describe a major event. Right? So in this statement here that Paul makes, the brevity to me is actually amazing. Right? By simply saying those things. Right, those things which happened to me, when he's saying that, he's talking about at least a third of the entire book of Acts. You know, those things. Right, well, what are those things? If you know the life of Paul, you know, the beatings, being stoned, the persecution, the shipwrecks, right, being in prison, all of that. And he just simply says, those things. Right, he doesn't have to elaborate what he went through, right, they knew what he went through. They knew all of those happenings that Paul went through. And if you actually go back to the book of Acts here for just a moment, consider the end of the book of Acts. So Paul, after going through all of that, he ends up in Rome. Right? It wasn't some happy ending. Right? Where, you know, some happy ending where Caesar says, well, go home. That's not what happened, right? He's in Rome for quite a time. He's under arrest, and that's the setting which Philippians is written. And how does he say it? Well, you know, these things that happened to me. And really, if you look at it, it's over 2 years of bad things. You know, those things that he mentions. Now think about that. What if you were going through a very difficult time right now, and you're not going to see relief for, you know, at least another 2 years? You know, those aren't the best happenings. You know, maybe you're experiencing bad happenings right now. And it's been that way. Maybe it's been that way for two or more years. But that's what Paul's going through here. This has been going on Paul's life for at least 2 years. And what does he say? I want to tell you, brethren, about how the gospel has really prospered since all of these things have happened. You see, Paul's not going to concentrate on the bad things that happened to him with the loss of joy. Right? A great lesson in this for us. Right? He's going to go deeper than that to describe the joy that is found. And he's saying that his joy is found in Christ. And he's saying, let me tell you what God is doing that's really powerful. If we kind of paraphrase. Right? When you put it all together, and if you actually look there, if you're still in Philippians chapter 1, look there at the end of verse 12, right? When he says it's for the furtherance of the gospel. And you say, well, you know, how is the gospel furthered in all of this? And he gives two great examples. He says what we learned in Acts, right? Hey, the guards that are keeping me, they know that my chains are in Christ. Right? We kind of read of that here in Acts. And why is that significant? You see, the guards here would have probably at first thought that the chains were because of the Roman authority, you know, something like that. And then they would have spent some time with Paul, and they would have come to understand that that's not the case. As a matter of fact, he could be released probably immediately if he just gave up on Christ. Right? If he just walked away from his faith, he wouldn't be in chains. But the guards start to realize that it's not Rome holding this man here, right? It's his conviction in Christ. And the guards literally started to have a greater understanding of what it means to be a Christian. If you have your Bible open, you want to jump over to Philippians chapter 4. And you notice how he signs off there at the end of the book. And he's saying, you know, all the saints greet you, especially those of the household of Caesar. Brethren of the household of Caesar. We talk about the furtherance of the gospel while he's going through bad happenings, but he had not lost his joy in Christ. You know, how does that happen? Well, his joy was in the Lord, and I guarantee you wouldn't have been around Paul for very long, and you'd hear about what? Well, you'd hear about his joy, regardless of the bad happenings. And then you'll talk about where that joy comes from. You know, if you love your hobby, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to talk about it. If you love your job, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to talk about your job, aren't you? Your grandkids, you love your grandkids, what are you going to do? Right? I don't know how many of you I've already cornered to show you pictures of that brand new grandbaby. That's just what you do. If you love the Lord, what are you going to naturally do? You're going to talk about it. Right? And can you imagine being around Paul and what was his joy? Well, he found his joy in the Lord. And so he's in prison, right? And you say, oh, he's going to be a bitter man, a bitter old man, right? He doesn't deserve to be there. Maybe the guards are expecting a bitter old man. But what do they get instead? Well, they get a man that's full of joy despite the bad happenings. And so where does that kind of joy come from? Right? It comes from an individual with the mindset of, hey, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Let me tell you how I was redeemed and the joy that I have, regardless of all these happenings. Right? Let me tell you about the Lord that I serve. Let me tell you about the joy. Not only did it affect the palace guards, but notice verse 14 here in Philippians 1. Paul, he's saying that going through all these things, right, has also affected other brethren. Right? In other words, those who are Christians notice, and he says they become confident by his chains. Now they're doing what? They're going out speaking the word more boldly. Right? Understand this, real joy is contagious. And isn't it wonderful when our faithfulness can edify others? Right? All of us here have, I'm sure, been individually strengthened by the faithfulness of a grandparent, of a parent, of a brother or sister. They maintain that joy even through the bad times, the difficult happenings. The worst of times. And their faithfulness was like Paul to these people, right? As their faithfulness is to you. You know, so then you can say, hey, I'm more confident now. I see how beautiful it is. I now know what it looks like for someone to have joy in the midst of bad happenings. You know, and I think we're still tempted to ask, you know, if we could talk to Paul, or maybe we have conversations with individuals that are having bad happenings in their life. You know, Paul, what about all these happenings? Right? And, you know, he would tell us, you know, well, let me tell you about these happenings, right? Just stay faithful to God. And what happens then is that joy of the Lord, it just starts affecting people. And, you know, it affects not only the brethren, but it also affects those who are outside of Christ. Right? Like David in Psalm 40, right? He describes being in that horrible, dark, miry pit. Right? That was symbolic for a very low place in his life. He says the Lord provided a foundation for him and lifted him up out of that pit. He says, I'm going to praise God and tell people about it. I want you to note here, notice how he concludes this. Now we're going to skip down for the sake of time, skip verses 15 and 15 through 17. Here Paul's just talking about some folks that were preaching the gospel that didn't have pure motives. But notice here his conclusion of verse 18. Read this with the mindset of the furtherance of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. Remember, Paul's in prison. You know, Paul doesn't have the opportunity to go out and preach, and it brings him joy when he hears about the fact that the gospel's being preached. And I hope we all take joy knowing that the gospel is being preached, right? The missionaries out there. And, you know, if you notice, I redid the bulletin, and I thought it'd be wise to to put the mission work that we support as a church family in a more prominent place, so we can be mindful of that and prayerful. And I hope that makes us rejoice that people are preaching the gospel, right? And rejoice that the gospel is being preached here in our area, right? And you know, it's more than just enduring a sermon. And I hope that that's our mindset here. And so Paul, he's taking joy in this truth right here. You know, and hopefully it should bring us joy like it did Paul. Paul said, let me tell you what brings joy to me. I rejoice anytime I hear of the gospel being furthered. So let's take a moment here and think about three things real quick. Just three things really quick that we can gain from what we've just looked at here in this text. Number one, I can see that there's no badness on earth that can take away the joy of the Lord. You know, we might hear about something terrible happen around us, you know, maybe the wars that are going on, or, you know, terrorist attacks, or a terrible tragedy, or people that we love that are sick. But none of that can take away the joy of the Lord, because it's not based on happenings. It's based on who we are in Christ. And so today I need to recognize that as long as I'm alive here on this earth, there's always going to be bad happenings, right? Because we're not supposed to be here. And I talked about that this morning, right? We're not meant to stay here. We're just passing through, right? There's always going to be happenings that are bad, right? There's going to be good happenings, right? Happenings are really good, but there's also going to be happenings that are really bad. But our great joy, it's not tied to particular happenings. It's not tied to a particular season of the year. It's much deeper than that. Our great joy, rather, it's tied to the Lord and our relationship with Him. But secondly, waiting, it's just part of faith. And we need to understand that. Waiting is part of faith. You know, what if you could go to Paul? Right. Let's examine this like we could have a conversation with Paul. And you went to him that first day that he was beaten and thrown in a jail cell. Right? And if you go to Paul and, you know, and you could imagine the wounds, you could imagine the pain, and ask him, you know, Paul, how is anything good going to come out of this? I can just imagine Paul saying, well, you know, we're just going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait and be faithful. You know, I can't show you today how good is going to come out of this bad happening. Right? You know, maybe you could have went to Paul when the ship was wrecking, right, in Acts 27. You know, Paul, where's the good in this? Where's the furtherance of the gospel in this situation? And you might have said, well, I don't see the furtherance of the gospel right now. You know, here I am in this terrible situation on this ship, or not even on the ship anymore because it sank. I don't know. I might not be able to tell you right now, but I know. And I think we're still tempted to ask, you know, Paul, where's the goodness out of this situation? And again, I think he would say, I don't really know what the goodness is in this right now. You know, but Paul, what are you going to do? Well, his answer, I guarantee you, what our answer needs to be, I'm going to remain faithful. I don't fully understand the situation right now, but I'm not going to give up. Right? I'm going to stay faithful to God. And that's a very powerful lesson for us. Listen, during the difficult times of life, during the happenings of life, the only answer that we must give each and every time is, I'm going to stay faithful to God no matter what. I'm going to magnify God with my life and my death. Or as Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 15:58, says, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Well, because that's part of faithfulness, regardless of the happenings. And understand that waiting, of course, doesn't mean you're going to sit around and do nothing, right? Waiting means that even during the difficult seasons of life, we continue to march forward serving God, right? Even when we don't understand how it's all going to work out, especially when we don't understand how it's all going to work out. You know, Paul's focus wasn't on himself, right? His focus, regardless of the happenings, was on Christ. You see, if Paul would have made his focus on himself, then he could have easily, I believe, rationalized not being faithful, and he would have compromised his faith, you know, to be more comfortable in his happenstances. When we start seeing life through the lens of self being the most important thing, listen, we're going to make some terrible decisions. Anytime I see life through the lens that the Lord is the most important, that He's my priority, loved Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, then I'm going to be able to endure the difficult, right? Those difficult happenings, and I get to pull strength, right? And that strength that's tied back to the Lord, leading to real joy. Look at me again here in Philippians chapter 1 and make this our closing point. If you remember anything about this lesson, let it be this. Verses 19 and 20, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ according to my earnest expectations, and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed of, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." Now, isn't that interesting here, what he's saying? Right? You know, he's saying, let me tell you what I've determined in my life, the thing that matters the most. Right? It's not about the temporary. Rather, it's about the eternal. And if God wants to use my life, well, I'm gonna magnify Him with my life. But then if God sees that I can do greater good by the way that I die, well, I want the Lord to be magnified in my death. Right? And so what's the point here? The point is that the temporary things, they were not directing Paul's life. Right? Being in prison, it's temporary. The beatings, he understood it's temporary. Listen, that job that you have, it's temporary. Oh no, preacher, I've been doing this job 30 years. Trust me, it's temporary. That house, temporary. There's not a thing that you can point to on this earth and say that is permanent. It just doesn't work that way. There's nothing permanent other than the Word of God and your eternal soul. Nothing. There's nothing permanent other than that. So how wise is it then to invest our lives in things that are temporary? Right now, those things, they're part of our lives. They're not bad in and of themselves, but they're temporary. Right? And so what we do is we then invest our lives in the Lord, and we use everything that's temporary in our lives to magnify and glorify God. And you're going to find real joy in that. We're going to use those temporary things as a tool to serve God. Right? And, you know, that hobby that you love, that skill that you have that you're great at, you know, your income, right? You're going to use those to invest in the eternal. Because they're just temporary that God has allowed us to use for a short amount of time. To use what God has allowed you temporary custody over to glorify and magnify Him. And that includes our lives, our physical lives. You know, God's the only permanent one, and so I serve Him. Right? What a great lesson we're being taught here. You know, and everything else, if we're not careful, it pulls away from the joy of the Lord. You know, whether it's a season of waiting, or if it's past the waiting, and you're able to say like Paul here in Philippians, you know, look at what the Lord has done for me through this difficult season. right? But that's what we're waiting for, and we're waiting in faithfulness for that difficult season to pass. And so let's begin to finish up here and read this with me. So he says in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Very bold statement, right? But it's a very powerful and challenging statement, you know, and so as long as I live upon this earth, the cause of Christ is going to be lifted up, because I'm going to lift it up. And there's great joy in that. And when it comes time to die, then I'm going to have victory in the Lord, because I trust God that much. But what a beautiful and powerful way to view life and to view death. I want you to think about that and about what we read here in verse 21. That's one of the greatest purpose statements in the entire Bible, I believe. You know, when you can live your life to magnify God so that you can live your life every day looking forward to death, so that you can receive that eternal reward, right? When you can see that, when you understand that in your life, listen, you have found the very purpose for your life, a God-given purpose. So what do we learn this evening? Well, number one, happiness is tied to circumstance, but joy is tied to Christ. Number two, when my purpose is tied to Christ, then life is fulfilling and dying is victorious, and both are joyful. And right here, if you remember anything, remember this. Joy isn't found in searching for joy, but rather joy is a byproduct of being in Christ. And I think that's so important. I want to say it again. You can't find joy by searching for joy. You're not going to find it. Rather, joy is the byproduct of being in Christ and living for Christ. And joy is made up of faithful waiting. Remember, if we can't find or wait faithfully through difficult times, we're not going to find joy. And when we focus on the temporary, it destroys joy. And I hope that you're built up today and realize that as Christians, how much we have to be joyful about. Right, a lot of happenings will be discouraging. Right, even Jesus on this earth, he's described as the man of sorrows. And this morning I mentioned Hebrews 12, verse 2, and I talked about the first part of that. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, author and finisher of your faith. Well, this evening I want you to think about the last half of that, where it says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You see, we're going to have difficult days on this earth, and I mentioned this morning, John 16 and verse 33, in this life you're going to have trouble. That's just the way it is, right? But that should never take away our connection to joy in the Lord. The psalmist says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." If you're here this evening, it's important that you see that joy can only be found in Christ. Now, you can find a lot of good happenings in your life. You can be happy about a lot of things. You have the best, easiest, most happy life that a person could have, but in the end, it's going to end in tragedy if you do not have Christ as your Savior. And if you have Christ as your Savior, you can have a terrible physical life filled with terrible bad happenings, but you can have the joy of Christ, knowing in the end it'll absolutely be worth it, right? One moment in glory will be worth it all. If you're here and you're subject to the gospel invitation, we'd love to help you with that. You need to put on Christ, let's take care of that or study that more, and let's do that. If you have any other needs spiritually, if you need to be reconciled to Christ, you know, bring it before the church. Let us pray for you, pray with you. Whatever it is that you need spiritually, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.